Yes.
Jen was a little worried about, let me get wired up here. Jen was a little worried about her devotion being on the mark. God works in mysterious ways in that, because this week's sermon is a youth sermon. My sermon actually addresses blessings this week. So I think it's amazing that in that she shared how that they had worked and they strived forward and they had done their part, the overtime, the saving, the bringing everything into the warehouse, and that God had blessed them. Because the decision to go out and do your part, oddly enough, is a verb, which requires action. Sometimes we want the blessing, but we're not willing to go out and to do our part, to make a change, to make an effort, to save those things. But I tell you what, before we dive all the way in, I'd like to pray us in real quick. Lord, thank you for the blessing of sending your Son so that he may live a sinless life and to die and to atone for our sins. I pray that we remember this blessing, that we live in grace. I pray that we're guided and protected and blessed as we move forward to carry your light into the world. Please help me to bring the message that you have prepared, nothing more, nothing less, your Lord. That's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. One of the things that when we try to live in blessing, we can struggle to seek or to find God's will for our life. So I'm only going to pick on the adults a little bit. If you have ever struggled seeking God's will in your life at any point, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'm going to be the first. This can be a frustrating place to be in, wondering what God wants you to do, where he wants you to be. But there's good news, oddly enough. The answer is actually in that statement. God's will for you is to seek him. That is his will for us in our daily life. We see it all through Scripture. God's will for us is to seek him in our daily life, to seek him in our actions from beginning to end. And there's several scriptures that I found to expand on this, but I narrowed it down to one. The first one's going to be the Matthew 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." Or in simple words, or layman's words, seek God first, and you will be blessed for it. I'm going to share a little story, maybe a plug for Sunday school. But a couple weeks ago, myself, young Mr. Allen, and young Miss Abby were in Sunday school class. Yes, ma'am, I told you I was going to front you out. We played a game, oddly enough, and I named this game Stump the Chump. I was the chump. But we weren't actually testing my biblical knowledge. I was actually teaching them something different. I was teaching them how to rely on God's word and to know that he would bless them with guidance when they sought it. So Alan and Abby both told me what kind of week that they had had and what they wished was different. Alan, for example, was at camp. Said he did a lot of stuff, but you know what? I really felt motivated and driven, and I felt like I could have did more. Abby, on the other hand, was kind of polar opposite. Abby had had a very busy week and somewhat of a frustrating week, and she had actually wished that her week had been a little calmer, a little more focused, and just a little less frantic in general. So after they had told me about their week, I had them pick any book in the Bible that they wanted, and that I would start reading from there, and that God would give them a word. Now, being an overachiever for this Sunday school class, Miss Abby decided to choose the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation may not necessarily be the book to talk about calming things down, but that's what she chose. And oddly enough, we started reading Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. But sure enough, for both of the students in the class, within a few verses, the scripture actually applied to what they were asking for. Sometimes what we seek from God will jump out immediately in those scriptures. There's going to be other times that God has to settle us down. So we may have to jump into the word, and we may have to read just a little bit. And this is a me part, but I believe that is God's way of drawing us back into the center, to calm us down, to get our minds focused so that he can give us the answers that we're seeking. I believe that there's times that we treat it like Google, that we should just say, hey, God, I need an answer to X, Y, and Z. And we expect that answer immediately, but we're not in a place to receive it. So overall, the lesson or the point of Stump the Chump was to show them that at any point in time, no matter what their question, no matter what their need, no matter what guidance they were seeking, that they could, that God's word was not only living, but it would produce the answers that they needed. Even if they'd had a busy week and wanted to settle down, and you happened to open up the Bible to the book of Revelation chapter 2 and needed a word about peace. So I was just absolutely amazed by that, because I couldn't have just pulled off necessarily what they needed, but God can. So by turning them to God's word, they were able to see, and hopefully that they could use that tool moving forward, that at any point in time we seek a blessing, we seek an answer, just turn to the word of God. Now, since we're on the subject of blessings, I'm going to give a quick, simple definition of what the word blessing is. This is a favor or a gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness. So ultimately, God just wants us to seek him, and he wants to bless us. Any kids in the crowd, raise your hand or shout out if you'd like. Can you name any way that we can bless somebody else, or how we may bless? And if you're a grown-up kid, that's okay too. I'll give you the first one. We can bless people with our words that we share, how we talk to them, how we address them. Anybody have anything else that they want to share? Actions. I heard that a couple places. Go, young one. Working on, so we're donating time and we're using our gifts that God gave us. Absolutely. So we've shared our words, we've shared our actions, we've shared our gifts. One of the other ways we can bless others is through prayer. We can pray for them, we can pray with them, we can pray around them. But I think the ultimate blessing that we can give to anybody is to share Jesus with them. So when we go out in our daily lives, we example through our actions, we share through our words, we give of the gifts that have been given to us, and all those things put together share the Jesus that lives inside of us. And that's one of the things that I will challenge our youth and our grown-ups to do this week, as you go out, to remember that all those gifts and all those things combined add up to sharing Jesus in our daily lives. That being said, Jesus is the ultimate blessing. He came, he lived a sinless life, and then he died for our sins. But he also rose from the dead, and he is the reason that we can be washed in the blood, and we can be able to go to heaven and live for all eternity. That is a blessing. Now, unfortunately, as you all may know, the world has a different take or a different twist on what it means to be blessed or to be gifted. So I've prepared a little demonstration today, and I'm going to try and show you the difference on how the world treats a gift or a blessing and how God will treat a blessing. I have voluntold three wonderfully special volunteers for today. Young sir and young ma'am, if you would, I'm going to have you just come up front. I'm going to have you sit right here on the steps, and I'm going to have you face the crowd. Now, I'm going to need one more volunteer. Is that going to be you? She raised her. Okay. Young Brody, come on up, sir. Okay. So, this is about gifting, and this is about being blessed, and maybe a little bit about surprises. You can come up with me. You're going to be the giver-outer guy. Oh, yes. Okay, so what we're going to do for this is I've prepared some gifts for you guys, and I'm going to have young Mr. Brody pass them out to you guys one at a time. But there's going to be no peeking. I'm going to have you guys face forward, and if you would, please close your eyes. Unless you feel like you're about to fall off the stage, then please open your eyes back up, stabilize yourself. Okay, so what we have here today is my bag of sweet surprises. young Mr. Brody. I have three surprises wrapped up on the inside there. As you see, there's one, two, three. I wrapped them myself. There's a number one, a number two, and there is a number three. I'm going to have you take this bag down there, and you get to pick who gets which one, but make sure everybody gets a surprise out of the mystery bag of sweets. Now remember, this is how the world will treat the blessing, or treat the gift, or treat the surprise. So I've got all three gifts passed out. Thank you, young sir. You can hang out, because I'm going to use you again, if that's okay. Good with that? All right. So you can't open them yet, but you guys can open your eyes. Now, I have neatly written a number on each of them. Number one, number two, and number three. If you have number one, go ahead and raise your hand for me. All right. So, since it's a bag of sweet surprises, I'm sure he got a sweet surprise. I'm going to have you carefully unwrap your surprise gift and let us know what you got. That is one sweet rock. I've seen a lot of rocks. That was pretty nice. That's a sweet rock, huh? Yes. That's how the world will gift us. Example number one. You're very welcome. Who is number two today? Number two, young Mr. Larry, would you carefully unwrap your sweet surprise? There should be a note and a gift inside. Could you let us know what you find? Uh-oh.
Pack
O sweetness. It's not even real sugar. Not even real sugar. You're very welcome. So the world will not only misrepresent, we see that the world will lie to us, because that's not even real sugar. But oddly enough, they're going to tell you that that's a pack of sweetness. So that leaves this young lady who got number three. She just got the word sweet, a missing gift. It was misrepresented. She was misled. She actually thought that she was going to be get a fine, sweet gift like the other two guys did. But all she got was a sweet word. So if I was to ask any of the three of you guys, did you feel that you were, if you felt you were misled in what you were getting, go ahead and raise your hand. If you felt that you might have been tricked into thinking you were getting an actual sweet treat, raise your hand. If you're confused, absolutely. So this is what we're going to face every single day when we go out into the world. This is how the world will tend to treat us. But God has a different operating system on what it means to be blessed and what it means to be gifted. If I was to bring any of these three gifts to a Christmas party and said, this is my gift to you, you would probably have the same puzzled look as three guys, these two guys and one young lady in front of me had. We had a missing gift, one sweet rock, and an almost sweet pack of sugar. Thank you guys very much. You can go back if you would. You get to keep those. That's take-home prize. So now, to be fair, since I've confused them, I've misled them, I've tricked them into thinking that they were getting something or a blessing that they actually did not, we're going to take it the other way. Can I have a couple more young volunteers to help Brody? I will take you, young lady, since you answered. You, sir. You, young lady, and you. All right, I'm going to have, I got one, two, three, four, five. Can I have one more? Uh-oh. Okay, I'll take you, you, and you. We'll just bring you all up. If you want to volunteer and you're a youngster, come on up. Okay, if you guys will notice, there's no glamour, there's no glitz, there's no fancy wrapping paper. I didn't work up a big show for this gift, and that's kind of where we're going. Anybody know what these are? These are candies. Okay. Will you go grab me those four collection plates? There's four of them back there. See the envelope on it? Okay. Can somebody help me? You want to open one? You want to open one? How many do we have? 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Okay. So we are going to work together. Now, I've got a whole bunch of kisses and hugs in here. Now, this part of the example, when he brings those up here, we're going to spread some of these in the bowls. And if you're small and you want some help, you can go together. But what I'm going to have you guys do is we're going to give these out, and everybody knows what they're going to be gifted coming out the gate, right? Yep, there's some in that one. All right, give me one more. There's some in this one. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take a few out of each, and we're going to make a fourth bowl. Okay. Oh, we're going to have to fix that. I can't count very well. You guys help me out, right? All right. So I want you to take a few friends with you. I want you to take a few friends with you. You to take a few friends with you. And you to take a few friends with you. What we're going to do is we're going to go out to the congregation. And we're going to bless them with a real sweet treat. But here's the rule. Okay, there's only one rule. I want everybody in the audience to get two. Can you guys do that? Make sure everybody gets two. And when you guys get them all passed out real quick, I want you guys to take two for yourself. If there's any leftovers, just bring them right back up here. We'll group them back together. You guys ready? All right, go for it. Now, there are chocolate kisses. There are almond kisses. And there are white cream hugs. The only three options that I could find, but please do me a favor and make sure that you take two. This will all make sense in a moment. Beautiful thing to see the children serve. Raise your hand if you have not gotten any kisses or hugs yet. What, the sound booth? Get somebody, yes. You got, well, there's four of them coming. You might have eight apiece. She said, break it. Now, if you guys will notice, the instruction that I gave the children was to make sure that everybody got two. And they were very diligent in making sure that that happened, that nobody got shorted. Okay, as you come up, I want each one of you guys to grab two. Any two you want. After you grab two, if you have any left in your bowl, you can dump them into this big bowl. Everybody make sure you take two. We don't want anybody left out. Did you get your two? Isn't the two you want? All right, awesome. Did you young ladies both? Everybody good? All right, can I get some high fives? You guys did a wonderful job. I'll take fist bumps, high fives, high fours. If you don't count the thumb, I'll take four. Awesome. Thank you all. I'll take that from you. I'll take that. And that one, and that one. So although simpler demonstration, that part had a much more profound purpose. The reason for that is that I started with one big pile of candy, which is similar to God's blessing. God does not want his blessings to stop with one. He wants those to be passed along. So in that example, we took that blessing, kind of similar to how Jesus broke the bread and he fed thousands of people several times. We took God's blessing and we dispersed it among the plates, and the children took it out. But in an effort to make sure that that blessing did not stop with the next person, each of you were given two, so that you could not only have a blessing for yourselves, but you could have a blessing to share. That is the biggest point of today's sermon, that God wants to bless us. He wants us to not only live in blessing, but he wants us to share those blessings. So I'm going to have, if you will, turn to Genesis 4, 1 through 5, I believe, is where we're going to read. I'm going to start just after the intro. So she became pregnant and she gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man." Later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So we see a difference here. Cain just brought, the Bible says that Cain brought some of the fruit. And I think the difference in the two we're going to see is in those little words there. Those could have been extras. They might have been nice pieces of fruit, but they might have been extras. They might have been leftovers. But the most important part of that scripture is that they weren't his first fruits. God wants our first fruits, both in tithe and action and word and sharing Jesus. That's what he wants from us. And so, when Abel, he did bring the best portions of the firstborn of his flocks. And so by giving his first and his best, Abel pleased God, and God quickly blessed him for it. Now the same goes for us. When we give our best and our first, we show God that we know that he has provided it for us. This pleases him, and he's quick to bless us. So we're going to do a little surfing. I'm going to have you flip to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. So Malachi 3, verse 10. If my glasses will let me find it. Okay. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not be cast of their fruit, says the Lord. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land." This is the only place in the entire Bible that God tells us to test him. And he tells us to test him in blessing and in tithe. And so today we're actually learning that tithing and blessings can very much go hand in hand. Giving our best for God and giving all the glory to God is what he wants from us. He will not deceive you or trick you like the worldly game that we had played earlier today. He only wants to guide you and to bless you and to have a loving relationship with you. So this week, I'm going to challenge all of us, young children and grown-up children alike, to remember the two chocolate kisses that were shared today, and to know that we have blessings to spare and we have blessings to share. To be sharp and to steer clear of the games that the devil will try to get us to play. To remember that God loves you and Jesus died for you, and through Christ we can do all things. Will you pray with me today? Lord, I pray for protection and for guidance over our young children. Help us to be like clay molded in your hands according to your will. Help us as parents and leaders and mentors to set a godly example for our children. Help us to remember that we not only have blessings for ourselves, but you intended us to be blessed so that we may share. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to go out as lights into the world to further your kingdom, to share the love and the joy of Jesus Christ, and remember that your blessings are a sweet aroma to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. So I hope you've enjoyed our little game this morning. This is a little lighter than my last sermon. Thank you, kids, for an absolutely wonderful contribution for this morning. I'm going to ask that the elders will come up this morning. I'm also going to ask for the praise band to come up. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this would be a wonderful time to come speak with one of us. If you have something troubled on your heart, wonderful time. If you have a praise, please feel free to come up. If you don't want to come to the front and you would like an elder to come to you, all I would ask is that you raise your hand and we would, there it is, we would gladly have an elder come to you this afternoon.